Hello, hello, hello. It's great to be back home. I guess I kind of feel like I never left in a sense, because every offseason we were rooted back here. But first, I'd like to thank Scott, who, you know, he was a true man of God before when he entered the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I wasn't quite there yet, but he was younger than me, but showed me what a true man he was. So we turned out to be best friends. Mo, true man of God, another true man of God, did the same thing. So I appreciate your words. GJ, like, you know, for a man of few words, but to build a relationship and a respectful relationship without saying much to each other, it's tremendous. It means a lot, man. A great family man. So all those things, it shows what draws us together, all three of us, what kind of draws us together. We're great family men. We put God first, and the rest is left to be said. Mike Ryan, just awesome. Awesome. Always there. Always had a kind heart. Always, you know, whether it was on field issues or off the field issues, you were always there for me and everybody else to reach out to, and a great family man as well. So it's something to say when you're not just men, you're great family men, and that means a lot. So, you know, I guess we're drawn to each other. Because all four of you guys have great families, and to my family, just to, you know, a piece of my family, to just show up here today, because I guess if I brought my whole family here, you guys wouldn't have anywhere to sit. So I kind of reached out to them at the last minute to, you know, to see who can make it and who can't take off work. But I thank you for being here, because without you guys, I wouldn't have a backbone. Without you guys, I wouldn't be who I am today. From the country to the city, exactly. So I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for being my backbone, Ev. To my little man, I thank you as well for just allowing me to be daddy, allowing me to lean on God to show me how to lead a household is something that I'm doing, and is something that I will always continue to do. So I thank you for that as well. But to the Jacksonville Jaguars, I thank you. I thank you, Tim. I thank you. I thank you, Shaq Harris. I thank you, Jack Del Rio. I thank you, Gene Smith. I thank you for believing in me. I thank you for believing in a guy from Bethune-Cookman, who, you know, I'm from Bethune. So, Ryan, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? We're from Bethune, so we're not looked at as high commodity. We're not looked at as survivors. We're not looked at it for longevity. But through God, and through His grace, I'm standing here before you, and as a humble man who has only started, hopefully, what the impact I will have on this city, on the great city of Jacksonville, and on the people who actually believe in me. I want to thank another person who has been there for me, AJ, for a guy who just comes in with his heart and who trusts God and leans on God to teach him and to guide him to how to look at 53 to 60 guys in a locker room, or even the coaches. So over 100 men and women, to guide and allow God to allow you to guide us. I want to thank you, because it was some times that, you know, we talked and things came up, and to have accountability partner is a covenant brother, it meant a lot. Still do. And also a great family man. So, like I said, there's something to be said. So I don't know how long this is supposed to be, but to all the media, as well, I thank you for all the great things you wrote. I thank you even more for all the not so great things you wrote, because, you know, through adversity proves a man. And we all gonna go through adversity. We're all gonna go through things that, you know, is not favorable to us. But how we respond to those things is when you can look in the mirror and say, okay, I handled that the right way. And I know that was one of the main reasons I was able to stand in front of the camera, and whether it was good or bad, to be like, okay, you know, put it on my back, I'll take it. And I think that's what a true man does. And I just thank God for him instilling that in me to be able to do that. So looking back on it, I'll do it all over again. And hopefully, if I'll find God a little earlier and do it a little better. But I trust the impact that I've had on this organization has impacted. I hope the impact that I've had has impacted enough people to be like, okay, he did an okay job. Good job. Pat on the back. So I want to also thank JB, Justin back there. Rod, thank you as well. JB, me and you work hand in hand off of ACL injury. So that always meant a lot. You hold a special place in my heart as well. Always will. You pushed me when I didn't want to be pushed. So I thank you for that. So I'm gonna shorten this up, but I don't wanna talk too long. But just thank you, man. Thank you from my heart. I can't say enough. This moment is special. It's even more special to me as I stand in front of you because, you know, I'm not an emotional guy. But, you know, it's touching. This means a lot. So it means a little more than I thought it would. Before I even, you know, while getting dressed today, you know, I didn't know I was going to feel the feelings that I have today. So that means a lot to this organization. That says a lot for this organization. You know, we're not just numbers. We're not just numbers. It wasn't just a 27 on my back. It wasn't. We're men. We're husbands. We're sons. So we're to be respected. And for each person in this room, if you don't take anything from today, take that. You know, respect is given. It's earned as well. But we're not just numbers. Like it means a lot to be looked at as a man, and you know, a man that might not have had much, who have come into a lot, needs to be guided. Can't be put on the track and told just to run. We need to be guided. So to the AJs and to the Mike Ryans, and to everybody else in who guides, thank you. To the Tims, to the Mingies, like we thank you. And the Weavers, Wayne and Dolores, like great people, and the impact they have on this community, we see it. So I thank them as well. So to everybody, to all the Jaguar fans, to the organization, to the Jacksonville community, I, Rasheen Mathis, wants to say thank you. I love you. It's not over. It's just a new chapter in my life. And as God lead me, I will try to lead this community. Thank you.
Rasheen, did it mean more to you, right here, sorry, growing up in Jacksonville to be a member of the Jaguars? Not many guys get a chance to play for the team in the city they grew up in.
It did. One reason, because the family at first. I knew my family was here, so to still be around them meant a lot. But as I continued to play, I realized that the impact that I had on the community almost was as impactful as that, meant more than that. So it meant a lot. And I can't really put it into words, and I don't think I even know how much it meant until I probably won't ever know. I mean, I probably won't know until 10, 15 years later on down the road when I realize everything that has been done.
Rasheen, can you tell us what your plans are post-football, what your vision is for your future, and would you like to try and stay in football in some capacity?
My plans right now, I'm trying to breathe and take it all in. So I'm slow to react. I'm slow to react right now. So right now is family, church, and my family have given me a little way to make golf something that I focus on. I want to, see how good I can get at golf. It's something that I've drawn a passion for. It's something that God has placed within me to actually love. I'm a competitor, so I can't just sit in the house all day. So it's a good way for me to get out and compete. So that's something that I'm looking forward to. And thanks to Justin and Tom Brunette at St. John's Golf Academy, they've embraced me with open arms, and I'm out there daily trying to work on my game.
Hey, Rasheen, Ryan O'Halloran, Florida Times Union. What was it like being back in the building today?
It's good. It's good to see familiar faces, like you said. Not too many when I came here, but enough to make you feel at home, and that means a lot. To come back to a place and see familiar faces, you don't feel like a stranger. And I thank all the people in this room, from media to players to just staff. Period, has embraced me with a smile. And it tells me that I did something good, it's a great feeling. It's a great feeling to be back.
When guys like Mo and John Osher say you're among the best Jaguars players of all time, what does that mean to you?
It means a lot. Like I said, I think later in life, it'll mean even more. Right now, I'm still in the competitive mode mentally, so I think I'm still there. I feel I could lace them up right now. So when you get out of that mode, the competing mode, I think you're able to embrace things a little better, and you're not trying to compete with the 22-year-olds that's can run straight off the couch, because I'm far from that. It's preparation, time and preparation and good eating and good hydration that gets me there, and good stretching. So I'm not the dog that's jumping off the porch and ready to run anymore. But to answer your question, it means a lot. Numbers speak. It's one of my coaches for the Detroit Lions. When I first got there, he used to say, "Let your actions speak so loud that you don't have to say a word." And I've kind of took that motto, and I think without knowing it, I've kind of done that, because, there's always going to be someone better. There's always going to be someone faster. There's always going to be someone stronger. I'm humbled to just be in the name of the guys who've done it before me.
Hey, Rasheen, Chris Boyle from the Daytona Beach News Journal. You touched on your affiliation with Bethune-Cookman, how you came through there. Can you reflect on your experience with Bethune and what kind of involvement you want to have with the program going forward?
Bethune is, it's BCC to me. Growth has called it BCU, and growth is necessary. So for Alvin Wyatt and all the coaches, Coach Terry Williams actually is still there. as a DB coach. He was my DB coach as well. Alvin Wye was my head coach. To all the people, to Coach Bernard, he was a Jacksonville guy. He coached for Reigns. So he was one of the reasons that I went to Bethune as well after I broke my leg my senior year in high school. So it will always hold a near and dear place to my heart. I'm not too familiar with the staff there now, besides Coach Terry Williams, who was my DB coach. But I want to get better acquainted with them because, you know, without Bethune, I wouldn't be here. I firmly believe that. I could have went to Florida State. I could have went to whomever, and I could have got lost in the numbers. And I couldn't have had the drive that I had coming from Bethune because it gave me drive. It made me have passion. It made me compete at another level because I knew it was 100 other guys that I was going to have to compete with who went to bigger schools, and they automatically think that they're better than I am. So the drive that I got from Bethune and the passion that I got from Bethune, I couldn't exchange that for anything.
You seem very at peace with it, Rasheen. Was it time? Is this the right time?
Yeah, it's storybook ending, I guess. I always said that I wanted to – I always said it, and I think we all say it, but to leave the game and not let the game leave me. And I was able to do that. So that's special to me. And I'm not better than anybody else because I was able to do that. I'm just blessed to be able to do it. And I know that, you know, some guys say keep playing until the wheel falls off. And that's some people mentalities. But it's not mine. It wasn't mine. Even though 13 years, you'd be like, okay, you still have wheels. But it was the right time for family purposes, the whole nine yards, the impact that I had on the locker room in Jacksonville and while in Detroit. I thank God he sent me on the mission without me knowing it. And I was able to impact a lot of guys and show them that you can be a true man of God and play in the National Football League and stand strong. And all the other stuff that comes along with it, you can break the stereotypes.
Rasheen, you said earlier that numbers speak. Well, there have been a lot of numbers attached to your golf game over the years from people in the locker room. And we all know that these numbers can vary.
Yes.
So can you give us an accurate description of what your true handicap is right now? And the second part of the question is, do you feel like you can be a consistent threat on the celebrity golf tour?
That's a great question, actually. Numbers don't lie. And I think Mike Ryan and Joe. Yeah, Joe, they took me and Ernest out the first year that I started playing golf. And I don't know if it was me or Ernest. Right. So, you know, somebody had to carry somebody all day, so it was kind of hard for us to come on top of that day. But it was fun because it was one of the first times I actually competed at golf. So it was fun with Mikey, Mike, and Joe. But I've gotten it down to a 4. But there's a but there. That was on my own. And I've been at this academy for a month now, and they kind of broke me down to build me up. So I haven't actually gotten out to track my handicap yet. But celebrity tour, I think I could have did that without coaching. I think I was that good already. And that numbers speak. So, you know, I've seen guys hit it. So that's not really my aim. I'm trying to blow past that. So that's not really my aim. Celebrities are good, but they're celebrities swinging a golf club. I'm trying to be a golfer swinging a golf club. So that's kind of my drive.
Well, the whole humility thing applies to football, not necessarily to golf.
Yeah, it applies. Golf will humble you within itself. But you're asking me about celebrity. I'm trying to, you know, that's not really my aim. You know, that's kind of asking a young high school player who thinks he have it, is college his last step? And when he wants to go to the pros. So I'm not saying PGA Tour, you know, I know those guys, that's their job, and they've been doing it for a long time. But, I want to see how good I can get. So, and you can't lie in golf. So if I'm, you know, if I can't go shoot under the card on any golf course that I play, then I know I'm not good at it. So it's, I'm not good enough at it. So, you know, that's kind of my aim.
A little bit higher than Scobie, maybe?
Yeah, when I played for 4 months, 5 months at a time. I never picked up a club during the season, and I can get myself down in single digits. So to do it year round, I'm kind of anxious to see where it goes.
Rasheen over here again. Why did you kill the Steelers? What was it about that rivalry that allowed you to play that well and make those big plays? I mean, was it because it was a huge rivalry?
It was a rivalry, yes, and I think it was that before it. Well, and I don't think it was that before I got here. And it's something about showing up when you need to show up that I didn't create it, but I found that I had it. You know, because if you don't, the world is watching, and you're gonna get exposed. And that type of exposure, I didn't want, I guess. I don't know. It was just a competitor in me. I'm a competitor to the utmost. It could be anything. I'm a humble guy, but when it's time to compete, I'm going to compete without saying a word. You know, we can stand here and throw quarters at the wall and see who gets the closest. I'm going to try to win that every time. And that's just how I am. I have two older brothers. So I had to fight for everything I had. They didn't let me win anything. And both of them take credit for me standing up here today because they feel I always play with the older people, so that's why I'm as good as I am. And I thank them for it because, you know, you have to compete in life. You know, you have to take a mindset that you can do it. You have to take the mindset that you believe in yourself. And at some point it becomes reality if it's actually true, you know, what you believe. And I've proven to be a competitor, and I think that I will always be. And I think that's what would drive me as a man, period. Whatever God allows me to step foot in or just be rooted in, I'm going to try to do it to the best of my ability. There's no slacking. You know, if you do something and you're going to slack at it, don't do it. And that's just how I feel, period, regardless of what it is, whether it's reporter or, you know, whomever, staff. Like if you have a job, you know, it's your job. You pick that job. So embrace it and be great at it.
Hey, Rasheen, concussion to end last year. How much did that play into this decision?
Not really. As a family standpoint, it probably impacted my family a little more than me. But it wasn't the first I had. It wasn't the first concussion I had. And I think when one of the reporters labeled it as a brain injury, it kind of scared a lot of people, especially my family. I got calls from at 3 a.m. checking to see if I was okay. But technically, that's what a concussion is, a brain injury. You just don't word it like that when you're writing about it, and this reporter chose to. But it made me more educational on the matter than I was because I took it seriously. I wasn't a young player out there competing for a job, and it's hard to do that when you are a young player competing for a job because you know your livelihood is on the field, and it's hard to step away from that as a player. It's hard to be like, okay, I have to think future. I have to think longevity for my life, not just my football career. And I was able to do that this time. With me being able to do that, like I said, I'm from being to Pittsburgh, seeing the best of the best, whomever, to just study it on it myself, you know. And then the movie Concussion actually came out, and me and my family went to see it. It's like, oh goodness, like, but it's life. It's life, and for us not to take it serious will be us being naive. So, you know, this is not why I'm here, but it is a subject that was touched on. So I'm a touch on it. It's something that we need to embrace. It's something that we need to know that is out there and it's real. And if we don't embrace it, like I said, we're not just numbers. You know, somebody out there is going to be affected by it. And it might not affect you directly, but I'll hate to be the cause of something that I could have done something about or could have made people more aware of, and I didn't do that. So it wasn't the main decision because I just thought it was time. You know, it's when you get up in age in the football world, because, you know, I'm 35, so it's not like I'm trying to say I'm super old. 60 minutes of football is a long time. To give your all and the energy level. You see these young guys running around, jumping around, and you on the sideline stretching. And, you know, you have to, you know, even though you still compete, you have to, you know, it's a chess game. It's a chess game, and you have to use that. And that's what kind of did it for me. Year 12 wasn't really like that. Year 12, I felt that was one of the best years I've ever had playing. But 13 was like, okay, you know, it's a little different. It's a little different, meaning like getting up for a game, And I never wanted to lose that. I still had it at year 13, but I didn't want to lose it. And going in, when I sign my name on something, I want to be fully there, mentally, physically, emotionally, and everything. And I don't know if I would have been that this year in the National Football League. So that was the main reason.
Going to Mike Cave, the last question.
You speak really highly of your time in Detroit, but how tough was it initially going there and leaving an organization where you seem to have so many roots? And how great is it to come back and know that those roots are still there?
It was tough. But what made it easier that it was a lot of change that happened the year that I was leaving. I think if the names... whether the Shaq Harris, the Gene Smiths, you know, those guys would have still been around, it would have made it much tougher because I felt they were family. You know, that's who brought me here. So if those guys were still here, it would have made it a lot tougher than it was. And being that they weren't, you know, I didn't know Gus. I didn't know those guys personally. So for someone you don't know to not want you, to not want to take a chance on you, let me word it like that, to not want to take a chance on you because they don't know how healthy you are or things of that nature, whatever entails, it wasn't that hard. Because I can, as an athlete, you know, mentally, I can be like, okay, I can trick myself and be like, okay, they didn't know me, so that's why I'm not here. But to bust my butt and to get healthy again and to have an impact that I did on in Detroit, it meant the world to me. So I thank Detroit for that, because, you know, I wanted to finish my career healthy. And my last year in Jacksonville, I was coming off an ACL injury and it wasn't healthy. But my years in Detroit was, and as an athlete, we know health is everything. Without health, we have nothing. And I was able to be healthy, and I was able to maintain health, and that's why I'm passionate. I speak passion about Detroit as well, because it meant a lot to me. It meant a lot to me from that aspect, from an athletic standpoint, from a mental standpoint. It meant a lot to finish the way that I did. But to come back home, there's no place like home. You know, I could be Dorothy here clicking my heels, because there's no place like home. Like, it's regardless of how you cut it, when you're home, you're embraced. Regardless of how you cut it, when you're home, you know, you see faces that make you smile. You see people that matters. You see people and families and that you can do life with. You can do life with, and I do life with these guys. I do life with my family, and to have that means everything. It means the world. So I thank you. I thank Jacksonville for embracing me because I definitely have embraced you. So thank you.
On that health issue, Rasheen, congrats on you finishing healthy. That's something as an athletic trainer, your goal to see great players play hard a long time and come out healthy. I had a front row seat to see the kind of rehab you did and the injuries you had. Very few people know what you went through to accomplish and to be standing where you are right now. Could you shed a little light on your mindset and how you were able to prepare yourself and how hard you work and the kind of effort you put into your rehab, much like you did on the field?
Okay. My mindset is, for one thing people might not know is I don't take medicine. I'm not a medicine guy. And Mike and JB, they understood. They understood. We had a great understanding that, I need this and I know what it does if I take it. So me not taking medicine is saying that I need to be smart and look after my body even more because the swelling is not going down as fast and things can impact me a little more. So I approach it as such, meaning whether it was eating, not polluting my body with drinking, the whole nine yards. Just if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it right. I'm going to be educated enough to know exactly what I need to do. And I'm going to talk to the people who are educated enough so I know exactly how it's going to impact me once I do it. And that's why JB and Mike, I thank you guys for that because the education that you guys gave me, it helps to ask questions. It helps to ask questions and know your body because you only have one. I tell my family this all the time that, I only have one body. We're not getting another. So I'm going to be that 80-year-old guy walking the golf course. That's going to be me. Like that's because we only have one body. So the way we take care of our body, it speaks life. It speaks life. So knowing that I can be affected by not taking care of myself, it not haunts me, but, I take it seriously. So taking care of myself, whether on or off the field, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do whatever I can to be the best me. And I know I can't be the best me without being fully healthy. And that's just something that I have taken to heart. So extra stretching, standing while everybody else is asleep or laying in bed, staying on the floor, stretching for an hour at night. I would do that. I did that. I do that. And I will continue to do that because I only have one body. We only have one body. So to try to be as healthy as possible. And I think that was one of the reasons, God has instilled that in me, gave me a little wisdom in that area to know that I needed to do that to have longevity in this sport. And I'm going to continue to do that to have longevity in life. And that's kind of the main thing. So whether it's an injury that you have, I think to be more educated is, knowledge is power, but it's only power if you use it. We're knowledgeable about a lot of stuff, but do we actually use the knowledge that we have? So that's something I could lay my hat on. One before we go, I also want to thank Sam. I just seen his head. I didn't know Sam Kavars. Young in my career, Cal Brady was the spokesperson for Channel 4 for the Monday Night Football after the game, and Sam believed in me, and through that, he didn't know this, and I don't think I ever told him this, but he showed me how to be a professional. Coming on time, doing what's right, how to speak, you know, whether it's how to sit, things of that nature. He showed me those things. So I never forgot that, Sam. So thank you for that. It meant a lot. It meant a lot.